Great, everyone. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. We're very excited to be coming to you. This is a special show. We're actually pre-recording it because we want to make sure you get all kinds of great information about the upcoming Falls Awareness Prevention Month. We are about to enter September, or Steptember, as our friends at the Orange County Department on Aging are calling it. So we've got a wonderful show. We try to do this each year, is celebrate Falls Prevention Month going into and during September. So I'm super excited. We have returning guests, Marie Dagger, the occupational therapist with the Orange County Department on Aging, and LaTanya Brown, who is the wellness coordinator with the Orange County Department on Aging. And I'm super sad we don't have Alicia with us and we don't have my sound machine because, if I'm not mistaken, Latanya, I think this is your fifth show.
Wow. Well, that means I just love you, Heather. That's all. I just
I
want to.
know. We love you. I have a running chart. This is Marie's sixth show, so she is the first to meet the Five Timers Club. And then Kendall McMillan, the Aging Transitions Administrator, she has hit the Five Timers recently. But I gotta check my chart. I didn't get a chance to do it, but I'm pretty sure this is your Five Time Club. If so, there's a fun present coming to you, which I will drop off. I wish we were together. I will drop off when you least expect it.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Thank
So
you.
we have a great show, and clearly we have great speakers and returning guests to the Aging Well Together show. So excited to talk more about falls and everything we will learn today during our show. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. And as you can already tell from our great speakers, the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the fantastic and just so smart and so caring and so thoughtful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Each week, we come together to talk about different information and resources and insights and the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live most Thursdays or pre-recorded those few times like today when you're not catching us live, but every Thursday if you go to WCOMFM.org or 103.5 from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you can catch our show. But if you miss that, you can also go to the Orange County Department on Aging's website to catch our previously recorded shows or the more hip name, our podcast. Today is show 87. And so if you go, I know, right? My guest Marie is looking at us, but you know, it's a radio show, not a TV show, but there's like excitement faces. If you go to our website at www.orangecountync.gov/aging, you can catch all of our previous shows. You also can catch such a range of resources in Orange County, things that we discuss on the show, especially this show where we're going to talk about programs and services. But check out the website. There's so much there. And you can also click a button to get to the Aging Well Together show for any of our previous shows. If you want to go old school, as I like to say, and call the Orange County Department on Aging for any information, feel free to give them a call at their main number, 919-968-2070. Again, 919-968-2070. Or feel free to email me if you have suggestions of people or organizations or topics. We are busy now. My guests don't know this. We're done with 2025. Like, we are pretty much scheduling now, starting into 2026. So, but every week, if not multiple times a week, I talk with folks. I was at my neighborhood block party the other day, met the cardiologist who lives in my neighborhood and was like, "You need to come on the Aging Well Together show." So I'm constantly meeting people and saying, "You need to come on the show," which is why we are booked far out. But But listeners, we want this to be your show. And Marie and Latanya have been amazing at suggesting show topics and speakers. So feel free to email me. I have one big smushed email address, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. If you are listening to us off the radio, you heard a little bit of music beforehand. If you're listening to our podcast, you probably won't, but generally you can hear our opening music, which is courtesy of the wonderful Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, actually quintet, excuse me, they added a fifth person. So thank you. Generally, you can hear our music before and after our show. And so we love them. And then because we're doing a special recording, I don't have my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, one of the amazing wellness instructors who works very closely with Latanya. She's not with us today, but if you're listening live or to the recording, make sure to stay tuned because right after this show is Afternoon Talk with Alicia, and she's wonderful. All right, let's finish up with me. I'm Heather Altman. I have been working in aging services and supports, especially here in our community, for over 25 years. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community, and I'm a caregiver for older family members. And at 54, almost 55, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I'm super invested in how we can all age well together. All right, I gotta stop talking. I gotta turn it over. We've got the best experts at this point. I'm gonna try to talk very little for the rest of the show. Let's see if I can keep to that. I'm excited to turn it over to Marie and to Latanya to you've heard them on the show before if they want to give any background, but really, let's just jump in. And Latanya, you're not muted, Marie is, so I'm turning it over to you to tell us about Falls Prevention Awareness Month and why we're super excited about talking about this topic. And we'll just keep on diving in.
Well, falls prevention is one of a common situation, common thing that happened to older adults. About one in four adults fall over 65 fall each year. So this is why this topic is so important to us, because falls are very serious and the leading cause of injury and loss of independence. So we want to make sure that we don't create a fear of falling, but let you know that falls are preventable with just some lifestyle changes. So that's why Marie and I are here to talk about preventing falls in the community.
I love it. And we're going to dive a lot more into that. Marie, anything you want to add to that? And we'll even go deeper into the statistics. But also, why is September, leading questions, because I know the answer, but why is September Falls Prevention Awareness Month?
Somebody got really clever and really creative once upon a time and decided that the start of the fall season is when we should celebrate, or celebrate, bring awareness to. We don't want to
I know,
celebrate
right? We're not
falls,
celebrating.
but
We're celebrating so falls awareness, not falls.
yeah, celebrating falls awareness, bringing awareness to how we can prevent falls, how we can minimize risk of inadvertently ending up on a lower service. And that's I really wanted to make sure we talked on what is a fall too, because I think that's one of the biggest like if I'm speaking with a group or chatting with folks, one of the biggest surprises I see on people's faces. Is just that a fall is any time, literally any time you accidentally end up at a lower level. And so that, we think about a fall as being the classic like slip on a banana peel kind of a situation. But it can really be any time like you kind of feel like weak or woozy or lose your balance and you go to like you just kind of end up sitting down, or you end up just at a lower level, you trip, you stumble, all of those things, it counts as a fall, even if you didn't literally fall on the ground and hurt yourself.
You know, I'm so glad you made that distinction because in my work professionally, sometimes people they don't feel like they fall or staff don't feel like they fall, but they just kind of like I'm sitting really kind of uncomfortably on a chair right now. They just kind of slid out of the chair or just kind of they were in, they don't get hurt or it doesn't feel so dramatic, but all of a sudden they're down on the floor. But, and so it, we're like, is that really a fall? But,
Absolutely.
and then you said it a lower. So does that mean if you don't actually make the fall, but you're up and then you kind of, the wall catches you, but you, so you kind of fell, but you were caught, but so you didn't, does that count as a fall?
It
I just
does,
went, oops.
yeah, because you didn't mean to, and you ended up at a lower level.
So the accidentally, the unintentionality of
Yes.
it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, that unintentionally ending up at a lower level because, yeah, if the wall hadn't been there, what would have happened?
I see that all the time with
You would
people,
have
and
kept on going down. Yeah.
yeah, the chair kind of catches them or the furniture or the wall. Latanya started to share some statistics. Back in the day when we first started this show, we always like to have our segment called Fun with Facts and Sexy Statistics. So, Latanya, let's see, you said 1 in 4 people over the age of 65 experience a fall. Did I get that right?
Correct.
And it's the leading
Remember, that's
cause.
reported falls too.
I was just about to go there. I was
Oh
like,
yeah,
a
sorry,
lot of
let me
times.
steal your thunder.
Yeah, no, I was just, I mean, you probably, you're the occupational therapist here, but being that we both work in the wellness field, like, I think what happens is a lot of times we don't even know how many people fall. We work closely with EMS, with one of our partners in Orange County, and they tell us a lot of times they get several calls in regards to fall. I don't know the statistics for that, Marie. You may be able to give that. But a lot of times we don't know of the impact of how many falls we're having because a lot of our older adults don't want to lose the independence. And of living alone, but we're not here to take your independence. We're here to prevent, and we're here to help and create a sort of a sense of security, with you being able to stay at home longer.
That's a great point. So it's 1 in 4 is reported, but I know with myself, I know with friends and I and family members, and that if there's a fall and no injury, people don't want to tell others because of that fear of, well, if you're falling, then dot dot dot, then
Right,
you shouldn't
exactly.
live here anymore. And so that reported number, so we know that it's a lot higher than 1 in 4.
Yeah, or even like you were just talking about the slipping out of a chair a little bit, the stumbling and losing your balance, and the wall catches you. That's not a, like, people don't consider that a fall. So it probably doesn't get counted as such. Because when the question is asked, people tend to go for that, like, oh, did I have a catastrophic event and ended up on the floor with an injury or a scrape or a bruise?
Right.
That's what people think about. But you know, I mean, there's so many little things that happen throughout the day, throughout the weeks and months.
Oh, I'm living it. So any other statistics to both educate, raise awareness, and scare us about balls that we should kind of add in here?
I do know that emergency rooms receive a lot, even with not just EMS, the emergency rooms receive a lot of injury related issues from falls as well. So, and the reason why I know, I mean, we do people who come into the senior center, they ask for balance classes, they ask for assessments. Marie can offer that. They ask for in the home, those types of things that we provide here at the senior center. We are offering a balance class coming up in September, to help with prevent falls prevention. So that's one of the reasons why we try to keep these classes and keep exercise programs in the middle of all the other exercise classes that we offer, but we want to make sure that we're providing a service for falls, just because we want to make sure that you live in home at home longer.
I love that, all the resources. So let's sort of, I keep saying dive in. Let's context set, and we'll go into the more of the resources and the prevention. But it feels like the first step would be, let's talk about all the risks about why people fall. What are the risk factors for falls? I think some people can quickly come up with it, but then there might be others that people don't realize, because then it's one. tell me if this is right. Once you identify and are aware of the risks, then it also opens up all the different opportunities for prevention. So,
Absolutely. And I
Marie,
mean,
kind of freestyle risks for us.
there's a lot,
There's
which
a
I
lot.
think
I'll sit back.
we there's so many risks, which is why there's so many opportunities to have a fall. But I do want to make it known that improving safety around even one risk factor, moving the needle on even one tiny bit of a risk factor improves your overall health, your overall, reduces your overall risk of having a fall. So, if
I
you
know.
as a
Let's go in
listener happen to have
categories. Yeah,
multiple of these things, just moving the needle on one can make a world of difference in your life.
so I'm trying to think about categories. So my mind immediately went to, which is why I'm not sure why I fell a few weeks ago. We were in London, and this is going to sound all kind of pretentious and fun, but my daughter and I were in London. We were right next to the Parliament and the big cathedral, and there was a ton of people, just ton of
So many
people.
people.
And we were rushing across the street and it was raining. And next thing I know, I'm on the ground.
Oh
And I
no.
think it's because I tripped over both the curb and my shoe. And so I'm thinking of the category of what we can do, the category of what we wear and our shoes. And then let's go into the category of environmental issues out in the community and then environmentals in the house. I mean, let's try to, there's all kinds of categories.
I
You
mean, there was a
know how.
lot going on in that
Yeah,
moment.
it was a lot.
One, you're in London. I'm guessing you're a little jet lagged.
Yes, I was. Well, I was. Yes, and it was raining, and there was lots of people, and I'm just trying to not bump into people.
Yeah. So fatigue, like your body being tired can be, because that's going to impact your reaction time. It's going to impact how strong you're feeling. It's going to impact how like much you're lifting up your feet, how much you're paying attention to the world around you. So
And
just
I'll
the
add,
fatigue
because I know
itself.
she's not listening. And
Uh-oh.
Latanya might appreciate this. I think I was either post or mid disagreement with my daughter.
Oh,
So
dear.
I'm gonna take your fatigue and I'm gonna add cranky, annoyed, moody. I couldn't get just the right picture for her Instagram. And so we were rushing to get the place for the better picture and placement, and I was annoyed. So that I love that you just brought up fatigue. I wasn't even thinking about the physical and emotional state. So Latanya has
Okay.
children around the same age I do. So
Woo.
okay.
Teens. Great. They're awesome, right?
So having a teenager is a fall risk. I'm going to add that. Go on. So, but I love that you brought that up. We're laughing, folks.
Yeah, your footwear, absolutely. I mean, anytime we think about footwear, we want to think about things that have like good non-skid bottoms on. They stay attached to your foot, so your foot and your shoe move in tandem together. I don't know what you're wearing that day, Heather, but in general, something like flip-flops is not going to be your friend. They tend to have a mind of their own a little bit. But I'm assuming you're wearing pretty good shoes that day, if I had to
I was
guess.
wearing sneakers and I'm in my dad's apartment right now. I invited him to come in here, but so I'm not sure if he'll if he hears this right now. I'm so glad you mentioned non-skid bottoms because I'll share, I don't think he'll yell at me. He actually is really good about buying non-skid bottom sneakers. Then irony, he was in a hospital. And hospitals' floors are like a lot of them are non-skid floors. And so the extra friction of a non-skid shoe with a non-skid floor, and he actually it just it was
Too
the friction
much.
just stopped and he just fell because there was it just caught him. So I thought there's a weird thing with these non-skid if it just makes you, I can't find the word, stumble or you just.
It's like the grippy plus the grippy, it ends up being too sticky in a way. Yeah,
And I
I've
think we
seen
can say
that.
with FCC rules, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? I don't want to sound like you, it's good to wear non-skid, but then in certain, all right, so let's do more about footwear and the environment. Keep on keeping on.
Well, and then thinking about like your dad in that instance, as we get older, it gets harder to compensate for those oops moments. Just our balance, our strength, our coordination. It just, and that's not to say it automatically gets harder as we get older, but there's just a little bit of a delay in how we're able to compensate for these changes in our environment. And
And
so,
And knowing what environment you're going into. So like now, your dad may not wear that extremely non-slip shoe when he goes to the hospital. He may wear a different type of shoe when he's going to the hospital. But I mean, you may not know that everywhere you go, but at least he knows that, okay, I can't wear this shoe when I go to the hospital, or if I'm going to the gym, I don't want to wear this type of shoe. I want to wear that type of shoe. So just being mindful of your environment that you're entering into.
And in this case, he was visiting a friend and carrying the friend's heavy duffel bag. And so he was there to be helpful. And so that set off the equilibrium and the balance. And so I guess that's another thing. Are you carrying things that set off your whole weight distribution and balance?
Absolutely.
So
And
what
I
do
know
you
you mentioned, Heather, I know you mentioned that you were in London. So you also, we're giving real life experiences here. You were also in a different place. So you're looking at everything because everything's flashy to you. So you may have been, oh, I see this. And so your vision may have been off. And also your hearing, because you're being mindful of the things that your surroundings and you're hearing and a lot of people and watching your surroundings because of the world that we live in. So you have to be mindful of how your hearing and your vision affects balance. And it was raining outside, so it was also slippery. So you had a lot of things going on that could cause a
It was a
fall.
perfect storm. Yeah.
I think I fell just so I would have a really great real world example for all of you.
Absolutely.
Because as I think about it, I also was crossing a street, and so it was in the median, so I was rushing the median, so you're rushing, and the curb, I didn't make the curb cut. So I was kind of, you know how in a curb cut, how it goes down to let you cross the street if you're especially if you have a stroller or you're walking, you know, so it's that flat, but I didn't catch it fully on because it wasn't a familiar crosswalk to me. And so I was kind of half on, half off. So I think that issue about being familiar, and I was so busy trying not to get hit by a car because remember, other side of the street. So, like, which way is the traffic coming? And I was so busy taking in all these environmental things that I didn't pay attention to where the curb started and stopped. And I wear glasses, so vision, my peripheral vision and my up and down vision is really impacted because I wear those progressive
Progressive.
glasses. So I can't, my field of vision is really like I can't see my bottom hand, right? Like I can't see it. It's so I love that you pointed out vision also as well as hearing.
Yeah, and when we're when we're in an unfamiliar environment, we use our vision to compensate. Like our vision is so key in knowing how we're situated within the world. And so if it's raining and your peripheral was a little off, and again, you're in a different country, in the US, curbs are all a standard height. I would hazard a guess the standard height for a curb is probably different in a different
Good
country.
point. Good
And so
point.
you were just going based on autopilot for this is what a curb step up should be because your vision couldn't compensate for you in that moment. And lo and behold,
Great.
just caught just a little bit. And all it takes is that tiny little toe catch.
That's all it took. So other risk factors in the broader either the environment or we've touched on the body because the next step I'll take now is going to be in our own homes. But anything else? What else are we touching on?
I'll let Marie, because this probably be a little, because I can't say, I'm not a pharmacist, I'm not a doctor, neither one of us. So I'll say, know your medications. I'm going to let Marie talk a little bit more about the safety, your home safety, and let her handle that. But know your medications, know if your medication's going to make you drowsy or dizzy, review your medications, with your pharmacist or your doctor, and you want to make sure that if you get a new medication, make sure that you understand the side effects and their interactions that may interact with your balance and your vision. So those are the types of things that you may want to talk to your doctor about when it comes to reviewing your medications and how it'll affect your balance.
And a pharmacist too. Pharmacists are very underutilized resources.
Great points. Wow, I can just use myself. I don't want to share too much, but I did try. I was on a legal, a truly legal medication yesterday, last night, and it was to help me go to sleep. And I did have that. I started to sway a little bit, and my vision got a little, and I was like, whoa. So, great point to know your medication side effects. And also, if you're trying something for the first time, being in a safe, familiar environment when you do that. Other issues?
Blood pressure.
Oh, what's the fancy word, syncope? Is that the
Yeah,
blood pressure
syncope
one?
would be fainting, but the big one we think about is the orthostatic hypotension.
That's a big word.
Yes, two words.
Yes, it is. Tell us what that means. Yeah. Say
But
that again.
that's when you go from like sitting to standing or laying down to standing, and your blood pressure just doesn't quite compensate as quickly as you need to. And so your blood pressure kind of drops a little bit. You start to get dizzy, you get lightheaded, you get fuzzy, and it can lead to syncope. It can lead to fainting. Yeah, or just feeling just unsteady on your feet and kind of losing your balance a little bit. So definitely if you're feeling lightheaded or feeling dizzy, especially if it's related to one of those changes in elevation, talk to your doctor about that. See what you can do. Sometimes it's medication related. Sometimes maybe your blood pressure meds are working a little too well and they need to be adjusted just a tweak.
All right, so should we, if there's are there others, or should we start going into things that happen in our home and all of the in our safe, lovely homes, all the things that can create a little bit of hazards?
50 million different things within the homes.
I'm just looking around my dad's office right now, like that.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'll go ahead and give a little personal plug too. If anybody's curious, I'm actually presenting at the North Carolina Falls Coalition Conference in Asheville, September 19th. And I'm talking all about home hazards and home safety. So if anybody's interested, you're more than welcome. But
Get that recorded. Maybe if it's recorded and we can turn it into an audio, we can put it up for the Aging Well. She's saying no. Oh, come on, have someone
no.
do, like, they do a
It's the whole
conference.
behind the CEU wall thing.
Oh, so someone can't
Yeah.
just like just press
No.
record on there. I don't care for that. Okay. So,
Yeah.
all right. So if anyone's gonna be in Asheville on September 19th,
Yeah,
right?
come on out. It'll be a
Ironic,
good
I've
time.
got two workshops I'm running on the 15th and 16th, so I'll be in Asheville right before that. But
Oh, just hang out a few extra
I
days.
know. So, I mean, I could go. So, how do you go crazy when you, because this is something you do, is you go in
Absolutely. I
people's
mean, I spent
homes.
2 hours in a home yesterday. I feel like the biggest things are lighting, making sure that you have enough light to see well, because again, your vision is helping to compensate for all the things that our body is maybe changing with or struggling with. So as much lighting as we can get in the space, keeping our paths of travel open and clear. And so, really perfect scenario is having that 3 feet of walking space. Depending on your home situation, I'll negotiate for 2 feet of space. But just making sure you've got a good width, a good clear walking path into and through your rooms, making sure you can get easily from your bed to your toilet in the middle of the night, making sure you can get in the front door into your favorite chair in the living room easily without tripping or bumping over something. So that includes chair legs, it includes stacks of papers, it includes fan power cords, it includes dog food bowls. All speaking from experience on these.
I know I'm going, yep. So continue on, because I am thinking, and lighting has become a big issue for me, especially lights down the stairs. It's a
Yes.
continual battle in my house, because my husband's big, turn all the lights off, turn all the lights off. I'm like, I cannot see down the stairs. I need,
Motion sensing lights.
yes, and we have a few of those. I'm a huge fan. So everyone, listeners, get you some motion sensor lights, especially from your bed to the bathroom and downstairs, like anything that you might be doing at night,
Yeah,
the
just
even the
if
little
there's,
ones, or even
yeah,
if it's like a little light that goes right down, correct, like just it lights up the path, but it doesn't have to brighten up the whole room, so it won't affect you
exactly.
sleeping.
Just so you can see where you're going, you can see get to your destination. Because yeah, in the middle of the night, we don't want you to turn on all the lights. That's no fun. Like that'll mess up your like ability to fall back asleep again later, which we know is the goal. But just enough light to see where you're going. You can even like put a little light in the toilet bowl if you really want to.
Oh, I tried that once. It ran
Target
out. That
practice.
was a fun Christmas when we had the multicolor. I know people love their rugs. And rugs can be beautiful and warm to your feet, but they can curl up. So talk, how do you handle rugs when you go into people's houses?
I first and foremost think about the purpose of the rug. What is its role within this space? At the front door, it's there to catch the mud, the dirt, the leaves, the sand, whatever it is that's coming. You're trying to keep the outside outside and the inside inside. In your bathrooms, the purpose is to, collect the water, make sure there's no splashes and puddles on the floor, which are a whole different host of
Oh,
problems.
good point.
In your living spaces, it's to add that warmth, add that comfort. We don't want to feel like we're living in a cave. You want that comfort, that familiarity of your space. But absolutely, we want the rug and the floor to act as one. We don't want them to be separate entities. So it's making sure if you have a rug on the floor that it is staying put. It is not rumpling up, it's not turning around in place, the corners are not turning up. And so usually that's a combination of, either the rug itself has a good non-skid backing on it. Maybe it's adding double-sided rug tape around all the edges. Maybe it's adding just like a little corner grippy that I saw those on Amazon the other day. Maybe it's adding like a non-slip pad beneath the rug. It's really, your choice, your preference. But yeah, making sure the rug stays place. And depending on the size of the rug and the type of flooring underneath, it's really important to make sure that you've got coverage for most of the rug as well. Especially if it's like that non-slip pad you're adding beneath it, go edge to edge, corner to corner, because it's so easy. Like maybe the center of the rug stays put, but if you catch a toe on the very front side of the rug where there's not a grippy, the front part can rumple and then the other part stays put. And then you've got a really weird like ridge in the middle of the floor. And it's a recipe for tripping and falling.
That's what we have. And listeners, if you want a fun hack, you can go on YouTube and see this. But I've now done the ice cube trick on the corners. If your corners are folded
Ooh.
up and you put ice cubes on it, and then but then you have to put something protective like a glass on it or a bowl, and over time, and something weighted. So you do like ice cubes and then like a glass and then like heavy books or something. And what it does is it rather than getting it super wet, it just kind of dissolves over time and it will flatten it. And then you can put double-sided stick. But sometimes the curl up is so strong that you can't get it to straighten out. So the ice cube way with this with its slow dissolving of water and then weight will. So I've done that on a few places.
Nice.
Any other, because I know we're probably we may be bumming you out, listeners, where here's all the ways you can fall and all the risks. So I know we'll get to the more positive, like how can you prevent it? And but anything else that we that kind of screams out, I'm thinking about in the bathroom and handrails and things around
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, in
not handrails.
general, making sure. So, a lot of people walking around the house, they use different touch points. Whether that is the back of a chair, whether that is the edge of a bookcase, whether that is a doorknob, the edge of the sink vanity. Making sure whatever touch points you're using can support your full body weight if needed. Right now they're touch points, but that becomes muscle memory. That becomes the place where you are gonna reach and hold on if you were gonna lose your balance. And so sink vanities probably not gonna move as long as it's a good, heavy, sturdy one. If it's just like a sink that's attached to the wall with no feet underneath, probably not a good thing to hold on to. We need to find an alternative. Doorknobs. Probably not going to support your full body weight. So at that point, we're going to see what can we, what other hand supports can we offer that would fit your need and would fit your habits and fit your routine that will support your body weight.
My friend's mother had just a terrible fall as soon as she came to visit in her house, in my friend's house. So it was not a familiar house in the same way, and used it was either the curtain the in the bathroom, the shower curtain rod or the towel hanger. And because in her own home, because she lives in a retirement community, there are handrails and really reinforced towel balls and towel bars and handrails. But in my friend's home, and so she leaned against the curtain rod or a towel rack that just could not, and just had a terrible fall, which was really problematic. So just being aware of what is more a functional thing for for not bodies. So those are, they're not actual handrails and bathrooms if you haven't put them up and you don't know them to be those. Like a
Yeah,
towel
and
rack is a risky thing to assume it can hold your body up.
it is.
Right.
And sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. So I think it's just, as you're going through the motions, especially in the bathroom, but just throughout your day, take a pause and be like, what am I touching right now? What am I holding on to? Is this a good idea?
It goes back to
And
your
just
emotional,
noticing.
goes back to your emotional state and your speed. If we can, and I'm terrible about this, but just being a little bit more intentional, not rush, and I'm always rushing. That's my problem. But sort of taking a moment and not rushing or assuming and just kind of moving just a tiny millisecond slower, so you're paying attention to what you're, how you're moving and where you're going and how you're holding on to things.
That's a great point, Heather, because I think a lot of our participants are so used to being what they used to be, and that's great. And we want to, you have to have a, it's almost a, you want to have a mentality that you still can do, but sometimes we have to take the time to just be mindful that we're not as fast as we used to, and our sometimes our mind goes faster than our body, and so we just need to, and then it's okay to take the time to make the decisions that'll go along with our body.
Exactly. And being aware, I was just 2 hours ago, I was in a real a beautiful natural setting. I know my mom once had a fall because she was walking on the ground and didn't catch the tree, a tree branch. And another woman talked about that just yesterday. We were, you know, she was talking about her sister's fall, that especially when you're out in nature, you're off a sidewalk. Sidewalks can be risky sometimes if the cement's not kind of even out, but just like, oh wait, there's tree branches there or, you know, roots. And my other thing that I see clearly, we ourselves were concerned, and we're always working with older adults. I try to tell folks, and I do this myself, is to sort of bond with the rain. If it's raining, do not rush. Like, just let yourself get wet, because rushing across the parking lot or rushing on a wet sidewalk, like, and especially if it's icy, like, just we're just gonna get wet right now. All right, so then let's move, because we've taken a lot of time, and I know it because this is, I think it really is important to recognize risk. But let's talk about some of the ways we added in a lot of prevention in what you just shared, like being aware of these things creates the prevention, adding lighting or being aware of clutter or being aware of trip hazards and rugs where or perhaps of paper. What are other prevention techniques?
Well, of course, as the wellness coordinator, I'm
Of
going to
course.
promote overall wellness and keeping moving and the power of physical activity and how that is greatly important with preventing falls. So just staying active and confident in yourself and, being self-sufficient and those types of things are a big deal when it comes to not having the fear of falling. So staying active, regular movements, making sure that you are taking some balance classes, but working on your balance at home. There are certain types of exercises that you can take, like you can do like walking, you can do strength training, Tai Chi. You can even take an arthritis foundation class. But if any little bit helps, even if it's just a short daily walk. So if you're not walking and you want to start, just take your time with it and start slow. But just understand that any type of improving your balance or improving your strength training will help you prevent a fall.
I love it. And there are certain, will you tell me, I've heard different things. Are there certain muscle groups? Like right now I'm touching, I don't know, what are these? My thighs. You know, like your kind of core and your midsection, that keeping those really strong, you know, or not. But are there certain, if you're trying to focus, because when we were at a recent event at the senior center, you know, people are working on their cardiovascular, but really working on strengthening, as you say, and are there certain body muscles that like focus on?
Well, I think for the most part, you're doing a full body Exercise. And Marie might get into more of the body muscles. I try to stay away from telling what particular muscle, because as training, I'm so used to doing weight loss training. I'm like, you have to do your whole body. You have to work your whole body, you
Got
know?
it.
Because if you fall, your arms got to be strong to help you get up. You definitely need a core, a tight, a stronger core to help you with preventing falls. But that does not stop you from falling. So I don't want to say if your core is strong, you're not going to fall, you know?
True.
So just overall healthy experience, healthy, I guess exercise routine will help you with preventing falls.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just piggybacking on that. I think most often people think about, strengthening their lower body, strengthening their core, just because those are the muscles that do hold you upright. But like Latanya said, everything works together. I don't know if either of you have ever had like a shoulder injury or something like that. But it just kind of it throws your balance off. It puts you off kilter because you use your whole body in a way to keep yourself upright and keep yourself moving. And so if you have one area that's weaker than another, you're going to feel those repercussions throughout your body. So yes, keeping your hips strong, your ankles strong, your knees strong, your core strong, your back strong, that's what we think of being most critical, but everything works together. The body is not an isolated muscle group.
And
So that's
even your mind having even your mind having not having the fear of falling, and don't let this stop you from coming to the senior center. Don't let this stop you from going to dinner with your children. Don't let this stop from you from having the fear of going places and doing things, because you want to continue to live and you want to continue to do these things in the community. So we don't want you to have the, oh, if I go out in the rain, I'm going to fall. We want you to say, if I go out in the rain, I just want to take a little bit more time to get to where I need to go.
absolutely. I love
Is
that.
that
And focusing on you were talking about the exercise, whether it's on your own or in a class. I think I would also add since the wellness coordinator, the full and what you eat, I know, and it goes with making sure you're staying hydrated and that your blood sugar doesn't drop and the just because I'll skip meals and then and not drink enough water and all of a sudden I'm feeling dehydrated and a little like extra spacey. I know I don't even have water next to me. Latanya's like, I have caffeinated tea right next to me. I suck. So I think just being aware of also how our diet and nutrition impacts how we feel and our level of confidence. So you talked about what we can do, classes, being aware, other prevention things.
I mean, I think we've touched on it a little bit, but yeah, that fear of falling. So having one fall actually doubles your risk of having another fall. And for so many folks, that fear just ends up snowballing because yeah, if you don't want to go out to dinner with your kids, and then it like you don't want to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so if you can come up with a plan for if I do have a fall, this is what I'm going to do about it.
Got
You
it.
know, if I do end up on the floor, these are the steps I'm going to take to make sure I'm safe. Even just having that plan, that just in case, that can be a huge just mental lift. You know,
Especially,
that burden is lifted of knowing, like, if this happens, I know what I'm going to do about it. And so I'm not as scared. And so I feel like I can keep participating and keep going and keep doing.
well, and I was thinking, and I'm Latanya, sorry, I think you were about to say something too. And this is where, having those personal emergency, it is true, help, I've fallen and I can't get up buttons. If you're concerned, if you have a history of falling, being able to say, hey, or Apple phones are great, Apple watches, just so that way if something happens, you're preventing injury or preventing isolation, even if the fall happens, that you can reach. I did learn something last week that I had not thought about. I was in another training with our local expert, Tipa Snow, and her team around dementia and supporting each other and others who are going through brain change. And as caregivers, we can cause falls if we go up behind someone, like, hey, it's me, and
Mm-hmm.
you startle someone, especially someone who's experiencing brain change or may have vision or hearing. So I know I caused my mom to fall once because I was
Oh,
trying to be helpful and I was trying to help. We were trying to help lift her, but I was not in the right angle, and like the whole thing was sort of a mess. But this issue of, as a caregiver, we can, or just visiting, hey grandma, or hey, dad, that if you come up behind someone or scare them or in a weird angle,
no.
we can cause a situation for a fall.
And then I want to
Absolutely.
mention this file of life sheet that you can, it's a little red envelope that you can put on your refrigerator. We give them out at the senior centers, and even if we're at a location or at a fair or something like that, but you can always come to the senior center and pick it up. But it basically gives your name, your emergency contact, a list of your allergies, a list of your medications. So if you do fall and no, when someone is, you can't speak for yourself, you'll already have your emergency information available to EMS. If, and this should be on your refrigerator or somewhere where basically on your refrigerator for EMS to find it.
That's great. All right. So listeners, go to the Orange County Department on Aging, either the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill or the Passmore Center in Hillsboro. Or listeners, if you're listening from other states, those are, or areas, those of North Carolina, those are super common. A lot of senior centers have those file of life magnets. So speaking of senior centers, and we have about 10 minutes left, and we're gathered here today because it's about to be September and it's about to be Steptember. So tell us about some of the special things that are going on in the next month that folks can be a part of. And for anyone who's listening and you're outside of Orange County, apologies, but maybe there are things going on in your areas, and Marie's already nodding. So take it away and tell us about how to celebrate Steptember.
So Steptember is actually a program that's coming out of the North Carolina Falls Prevention Coalition this year. So statewide, no matter where you are in the state of North Carolina, there should be a Steptember program happening somewhere near you. So you can reach out to the North Carolina Falls Prevention Coalition. They can help you get connected to who your local group is. But if not, if there for some reason doesn't happen to be a local group where you are, you can still submit your steps to the state and get tallied in with the rest of us. So the idea is, and Latanya was just sharing about this too, just the importance of movement and how any extra little bit of movement in your day can have an impact on your overall health, your overall wellness, and then lead to just a reduction in falls risk as well. And so across the state of North Carolina, we are trying to increase our steps this month. So we are celebrating Steptember. So this is a walking challenge. It is not a competition, so we're not trying to see
Oh,
who
are there
walks further than
prizes?
another person.
I want prizes. Will y'all give me quietly give me prizes? All right. And is there an age, is there an age minimum?
No, anybody is welcome to participate.
All right,
So
so
absolutely, please sign up. So yeah, it's not a competition. You're not trying to get more steps than your neighbor or something like that, because we know everybody's come into this at different abilities, different time availabilities, different physical abilities, different emotional abilities. And so we are just trying to encourage you to step up.
you're
You know
only
what?
competing with yourself. And I'm not a fan of competitions, but again, I am a fan of prizes. So let's feel free to go up and just tell someone at the senior center, well, give me a little, maybe they'll give you a hug. You
Yeah,
did good. Like,
hugs, high
you're
fives. We will
give me
do
a good
all of that.
smile at a girl, at a
And
boy.
any type of encouragement, we'll definitely give you that. We'll give you
Absolutely
smiles, all that
encouragement.
good
We'll see
stuff.
about prizes for next year.
And feel free to email me, folks. You can email me at Aging Well Together Show, and I will announce your name on air. I will do some sort of shout out if you want to come on the show. So I will offer for people who are stepping up, if you're participating in any way and you want a little on air love, you let me know. But okay, so you're only kind of competing, if you will, against yourself. You're just motivating yourself. So sorry, keep on about September.
So every week we are going to track our steps as individuals. We've got a calendar available if you want to be able to write in your step totals every day. And then every Monday through the month, we will ask that you submit your steps. So your step count to us. So you can either do that through an online form, or you can do that in person at either of the senior centers. We'll have a little slip of paper you can turn in, whatever your preference is. And I can pull up that website and name for you in just a second.
Oh, great.
But
And
yeah,
then
we're just.
you can join an exercise class. You can do the FitLot. We have a new FitLot workout program that we're doing here at the Senior Center. You can do our balance classes. You can do our we have walking groups that get together. So if you're looking for a walking group, just call the front desk and we can set you up with a walking group or someone to walk with. So we just want to make sure that you are moving.
I love it. And for those who have iPhones and other trackers, in my aforementioned London trip and when I was abroad, I can see on my iPhone just, and I don't pay for it, just that little heart icon, and it will show the previous steps, and it shows how sedentary I am. On average, this is what you walked in a week or a month. But then when I traveled, I do so much more walking. And so I kept seeing the summaries and I'd send it to my girls because I'd went from walking 1,000 steps a day to walking 14,000 steps a day. And so I was like, look at mommy's moving. So folks, if you have iPhones, and I'm sure Androids have a way, some sort of there are other fun ways that can also help you average it out even beforehand so you know what your baseline is.
Yeah, so you can use your phone to track, you can use a smartphone to or a smartwatch to track, you can use a pedometer. We've actually got a little chart of common day-to-day activities at home and what step amount that might translate to. In some of our wellness classes, and I don't know if we've talked about it with this instructors, but if there is a person in the class who has a pedometer or a tracker, if they want to share with everybody else in the class, hey, we each got 1500 steps
Oh,
during this
that's
exercise
smart.
class. And just kind of working together to see how many steps collectively can we all get. And so everybody's going to turn these steps in each Monday. And so hopefully on Tuesday, if we're on top of it, we will update our tallies on a thermometer in each of the senior center lobbies. And we're going to see how far we're able to travel collectively. So stepwise, are we going to make it Murphy to Manio?
I
Or
was
are
going
we
to
going
say,
to
is
blow
there a
that?
location? Like, I've seen that. We're going to walk to California or something.
So I definitely think, based on so the Caldwell Senior Center has done this in the past. I definitely think getting to California and back is within the realm of possibility.
I think so too. I think we can do this. Help
I
us
think
do this.
so.
Help us walk to California, you guys.
All right. And so it starts as of September 1st, because
Absolutely.
I need to do, I need an excuse. I don't know, listeners, if you're like some people, like my husband, are super driven, super directed. They're going to do things. And me, I need an accountability partner. I need a class. So while I'm not competitive, I need a reason. And so, like, oh, okay, well, I love Orange County Department on Aging. And if they're doing this, I should join September for Steptember to try to help their goal. Like, I need. I'm a people pleaser. I'm just not motivated physically. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, I won't do it for myself, but Latanya and Marie need steps to go to their big thermometer thing.
Yes,
Right.
so Heather, accountability buddy, we got to see your steps every week so we can put them on that thermometer, okay?
Okay, I'll send you my picture of my little well, I guess I can submit it. Tell us the website, because we only have a few minutes left. Tell us this the website where people can get the online form to sign up. And clearly,
Yeah, and
go to
so
the
this
store.
is just the form where you're going to submit your step count each week. And so that is orangecountync.gov/Steptember form.
And is September all one word, like
It is all one word.
step
Steptember form.
form?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, this is exciting. Lots of things to do in our 2 minutes left. What haven't we, what did I interrupt you too much? What haven't we discussed that you wanted to discuss when it comes to fall prevention awareness and prevention celebration and risks?
I just want to say I don't have time to give the information out, but pick up your endless possibilities. And that way you will see all of the falls prevention classes that is happening here in the wellness program. So that's my little spiel.
And what is, for those who don't know, what is endless possibilities? It is
It's
that
on.
Yeah, she's pointing at me. I'm like, all right, it's our catalog. I don't mean it's our Bible. I don't mean to sound disrespectful with that. Like, it is just the catalog, the booklet, the brochure, because it's so much more than a brochure. It's the booklet of all the cool things going on, and it's free, and you can find it all around Orange County.
And especially coming up in September, any programs that we saw that we think would be good towards getting your step count and increasing your activity, look for a little orange shoe icon next to those throughout the book. And so
Oh.
those are ones, if you keep an eye out for those, anything that's happening in September that would increase your step count. So there's some walking programs, there's some dance classes in there. I feel like there's a few other special events, but
Great.
things that would help increase your step count to work towards that September goal.
And can't folks also get a copy of Endless Possibilities? Can't they see it online if they go to orangecountync.gov/aging? They can see Endless Possibilities and all the different classes and resources.
Yeah, there should,
Yes.
once the web page loads, there should be a fun little column on the right side that they can just click on to see the current edition.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you all so much. Any last shout outs on things? I just want to make sure everyone's gotten there.
We're having a kickoff event for September. I guess that's a little bit of importance. So
Oh.
Tuesday, September 2nd, 10 a.m. at the Passmore Center. So come join us if you want to celebrate the beginning of September. We'll be having a few of our beloved wellness program instructors giving a little how-to on their classes. We're going to be talking up the program, answering any questions, and just kicking off a month of movement.
Oh, great. So, listeners, if you're hearing this before September 2nd, you can join that. And if you're hearing it after, no excuse, you can still join anytime. And even if you're listening to this after September, we want folks to be aware of the fall risk, but really get moving, get active, help to address and or get intentional about addressing fall risks in your life, in your body, in your homes. With that, I need to sign off. I need to thank so much Marie Dagger and Latanya Brown from the Orange County Department on Aging. You all are experts and you're my good friend. So you're just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough for hosting our Aging Well Together show. And as always, thank you to the Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring us. All right, and take care. Thank you, listeners.